Amen. Thank you all. Well, welcome this morning. It's good to see a few more people this week. Last week we had a pretty thin group, so glad a few more people decided to show up today. And as you know, Fred and Kristen are away with the Keast on their Fred and Kristen's first cruise. I don't know how many the Keast have been on. It's like they've been on a lot, but they're amazing. But just to let you know, they're doing well. There they are on board the ship before they departed yesterday. So obviously continue to keep them and Nicholas in your prayers this week. They return Thursday. But we're all hoping for a refreshing and relaxing time. And they look good there, don't they? They're both smiling. They look. They already look refreshed. And that's about an hour after they got aboard the ship. So that's a good sign, right? Yeah. And a lot of events happened this weekend. Yesterday, Justify, another prophetic word there, finished the second leg of the Triple Crown in an amazingly muddy, sloppy track, about as bad as conditions could get. But we'll see what the future holds for him. But that was also exciting, particularly for us who live in Baltimore. And I, too, watched the Royal Wedding. Really interesting things I'd like to contribute to the discussion that's already been shared this morning. The Royal Wedding was held in St. George's Chapel, and that chapel dates back to the 13 and early 1400s when it first came into use. It's connected to Windsor Castle, which is about 1,000 years old. You think of all the weddings, all the funerals, the kings, the princes, the princesses that are buried in St. George's. It actually started as a Catholic cathedral, and then as Great Britain became more Anglican, I don't know the details there, but it became an Anglican center of worship. And as you might guess, a lot has transpired there. Events have occurred there before America was even settled by our ancestors. That's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? Yeah. And not only does the building itself reach back to the past, but so did Harry in the ceremony, in that the ring that he gave to his bride, two of those diamonds came from Princess Diana's collection. Ironically, the main diamond came from Botswana, yes. And if you know the story, it's an absolutely amazing story of the man who became king of Botswana who married a white woman from Great Britain. And that caused a tremendous fervor in the 50s. Not only from his British family, or not only from her British family, excuse me, but from his tribal family. Yeah, it's an incredible movie. The name is escaping me now, that tells the story. But he's the one that helped launch the diamond mining in Botswana. Yeah, isn't that amazing? And when you think about it, if you don't know, I'm sure everybody here knows that Harry's wife is biracial. In fact, she's made some success in the acting world. She's an actress. But I read an account yesterday that said part of the challenge for her was the fact that she wasn't fully white and she wasn't fully black. So she couldn't do a black role as they want it in some movies, and she couldn't do a white role. You know, that type of thing is kind of interesting, isn't it, to think about. But I just thought, isn't it interesting, all these connections? And then he picked flowers from a garden his mother had planted. And the flowers, his mother loved Princess Diana white flowers. And the flowers he picked were her favorite. Forget me not. Forget me not. His mother died at 36 years old. Too young to be dying. His bride is 36 years old. Reaching back, reaching forward. We're talking about decades. We're talking about centuries. We're talking about a couple millennium, a millennium. Well, this morning I want to share with you about an event that goes back 3,000 years. The festivals of our Lord are the oldest celebrated traditions in the whole world. That's awesome to think about, isn't it? The oldest celebrated traditions over 3,000 years. Not 10 years, 20, 100, 1,000, but 3,000 years. And it all began after Israel left Egypt and God gave instructions to Moses. In Exodus 23, verse 14, we read, "Celebrate a festival in my honor three times a year." In Leviticus, we read a little further, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feast, the appointed feast of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." Now, Pentecost, the festival, as well as the other two, which we'll look at in a minute, it was God's idea. When we celebrate our Pentecost festival in 2 weeks, it's not Tamara's idea. She's a wonderful special events coordinator, isn't she, for our church? She just does an amazing job. Yes, amen. But this wasn't her idea. This wasn't my brother Fred, Rabbi. It wasn't his idea. It wasn't my idea as much as I enjoy a good party. This is God's idea. God said, you're to do this. And what are those three festivals? I know I'm sort of preaching to the choir, but just to remind all three of us, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. We read further instructions in Exodus 34, verse 22, "Celebrate the Feast of Weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest." And in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 16 through 21, we read, "Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. This is to be a lasting ordinance for generations to come, wherever you live." So this was 50 days after what event? Passover, okay? 50 days later, that's the season we're in now. As we know, Jesus celebrated his Last Supper, what we call the Last Supper. It was the Passover celebration with his disciples. And then he rose from the dead, and he was seen for 40 days, and he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, which turned out to be another 10 days before the day of Pentecost, so 50 days, yes? Leviticus, another verse here from, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 16, "Then celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God and rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for" what? "His name. You, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants, the Levites in your towns, the aliens," they even brought aliens. If you don't believe in aliens, there it is. It's in the scriptures. They even brought aliens, "the fatherless and the widows living among you." So everybody was to celebrate. Everybody. No one was left out. Everybody was to come together to celebrate this holiday. And these holidays created a cycle, a rhythm in the lives of the Hebrew people. Passover, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, year after year after year after year, generation after generation after generation, century after century after century, now three millennium. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. So who else would have celebrated these days? Yeshua, Jesus, yes. He would have been involved in these celebrations of these festivals every year with his family, subsequently with his disciples. Passover, we all know the Passover because of the Last Supper, but he celebrated it many, many times before that evening. Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. He would have celebrated all of those holidays every year. In Leviticus, we have a few more instructions. It says, you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling places 2 loaves of bread to be waved, and they shall be baked, how? With leaven, as the first fruits to the Lord. Now, they just celebrated Passover. Passover was celebrated with what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. And now we're celebrating it with leavened bread. And this was celebrating what would have been and would be still today the first harvest, the early harvest that came early in the after the spring rain, or after, actually the rains come in winter, but after the rains, after the first harvest in the spring. And then when we celebrate tabernacles, we're celebrating after which harvest? The latter harvest, right? The last harvest. So this is the first harvest. Grain has been brought in, and now we're going to celebrate with the Feast of Weeks. So what kind of effect do you think this would have, celebrating this year after year, generation after generation, passing it on down through the centuries? Well, let me share with you. This is a little bit of a long quote. I know some of you like to take pictures of quotes with your cameras, and you're welcome to do that. But I love what this says because, it, to me, it really encapsulates what this represents and actually what we saw yesterday with the wedding in terms of the traditions of history. We don't want to live in the past, but we do want to honor the past. And by reaching back to the past, we can better understand where we're going in the future. A festival places great emphasis on community participation and on the community of social or religious tradition, especially where the celebrations are elements of a regular civil or religious calendar. Without community backing, even in a family celebration, no festival can be successful. When there is communal participation, a festival can reinforce the individual and community memory of specific occasions and can perpetuate that store or recollection over years and generations. Such shared memory has a cohesive effect upon a cooperating community, large or small, and serves to establish the traditions by which the group lives. If the festival commemorates a particular event, that theme becomes more firmly embedded in the minds of the participants by being associated repeatedly with the rites and ceremonies performed. The feast of the ancient Hebrews had this positive function. How about that? Yeah. And so we, as a One New Man congregation, have chosen to celebrate these three festivals every year. And we celebrate them not only reaching back to the past, understanding what God's intention was in establishing these festivals in the very beginning, and as they've continued to be celebrated in God's way, but also looking forward to the future purpose and to the purpose that God intended as a revelation of his Son, our Messiah. Because each one of these holidays reflect the work of Jesus. In fact, in John chapter 14, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you," how long? Forever. Not a few weeks, not a few days, a few months, a few years. Forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. Wow. I don't think anything burdens my heart more than the fact that I believe there's so many in God's church that still think like, act like, live like orphans. We are not orphans. We're sons. We're daughters. We've been adopted by God. And we need to live as though we were sons and daughters and not as orphans. Jesus also says in Luke and then in Acts, same author, Luke is quoting Jesus in both these, in the gospel and in the book of Acts. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, the Living Translation says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with" what? Power from heaven. "But you will," and then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth." Now, a lot of speakers, you've probably heard this before. I think I've said it before. They like to remind us that the Greek word is dunamis. That's the same word that we get dynamite from. That's true. But when the Holy Spirit was inspiring Luke to write these words, there was no dynamite. People hadn't invented it yet. So the Holy Spirit wasn't thinking of dynamite. He was just thinking of the best Greek word we could use to say power. And there is power in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. That we can agree upon. So the question we might want to ask is, well, did this just develop when Jesus came on the scene? Was this the first time that anyone talked about, believed in, experienced the Holy Spirit? Thank you. The answer is no. And time doesn't permit me to do an exhaustive study of that answer. But I do want to remind us of a couple passages. First, from Numbers 11:29, Moses said, "Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. May all God's people have his Spirit," Moses was saying. In Ezekiel 36, we read, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart with the right desires, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony heart and give you a new obedient heart, and I will put" what? "My Spirit in you, so that you will obey my laws and do whatever I command." Ezekiel, prophetically looking into the future as to what God would be about. And then in Joel, which of course is quoted by Peter on the day of Pentecost, "But it will come about after this that I will pour out my" what? "Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions." I have a lot of dreams. Not sure they're all of the Lord, though. Anyway, "Your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, even on the male and female servants I will pour out That should be out. My spirit in those days. Wow. Yes. Yes. So we see God's plan and purpose was revealed long before Jesus was born into this earth. His desire to pour out his spirit. Certainly men and women in the days of what we call the Old Testament, in the days of God's active work in this earth prior to Jesus, in those days they could be filled with the Holy Spirit. They could have the Spirit come upon them. They would prophesy. They would have dreams. They would have visions. God did miraculous things through them. But now God says, I want to pour out my Spirit on everybody. I want all of you to receive my Spirit. I want everyone to be able to embrace the Holy Spirit. So why is that? Well, I love this, the way Sinclair Ferguson says it. He says, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to glory, to create glory within us, and to glorify us together with Christ. Yes. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring us to glory, to create glory within us, and to glorify us together with Christ. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And this is what we refer to as the day of Pentecost. I understand why we refer to it in that way, but let's just be clear, as I think we all are, that this was another Pentecost. This wasn't the first Pentecost. It had been celebrated at this point for 1,000 years. That's pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? Yeah. So as far as anyone knew, because all of Jesus' disciples at that point were what? Thank you. Jewish. Yes. We had no Catholics. We had no Lutherans, no Presbyterians, no Baptists. You know, that's right. No Anglicans. They were all Jewish. Like my favorite story, forgive me for the redundancy for those you've heard it, but sharing with Linda's grandmother, who was up in years, we weren't sure how many more years she'd be with us, just wanted to have that assurance in my heart that she knew the Lord. And she was talking about the apartment that she and her sister lived in, Linda's aunt, and said, talking about all those Jewish people, Jews, this and that. And I said, well, Mama, did you know that Jesus was Jewish? She went, no. And she'd grown up in the Lutheran church. Yeah. Amazing. Now, can you know Jesus? Here's a good question. All right. Can you know Jesus? Can he be your Lord and Savior? Can you know that you'll be going to heaven, that you're going to join him in all eternity and not know that he was Jewish? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. I think we're all in agreement there. But the fact is that he was Jewish, and that all of his disciples were Jewish. So they're all anticipating the Pentecost festival, but they don't know what's going to happen on that day. Do they? No. Jesus didn't say tarry for 10 days. He just said tarry in Jerusalem. I mean, God could have had them tarry until the Feast of Tabernacles, couldn't he? I mean, he could, right? I mean, God can do whatever he wants to do, yes? I mean, I hope we all agree with that, yeah. So, it's like Bob Mumford once said, you know, he felt like God was having a conversation with him. He said, Bob, one of us has to change, and I never change. So, God can do, but God chose this day to pour out his Holy Spirit. I do not believe, I will never believe to my dying breath, that that was a coincidence. I mean, we can say nothing's a coincidence in God. I understand that. But I believe that there was a particular plan that God had for that particular day. So, let's look together. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven and had filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them ability for speech. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation. Now why were they all there? Pentecost, right? They were there from every nation. At wherever the Jews had been dispersed, they'd returned. They'd come there as instructed by God to be there on for the festival. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed. They said, look, aren't all these men, aren't they, all these guys speaking, aren't they Galileans? Now, is that wasn't a very complimentary remark, was it? No. Aren't they all from Baltimore? Actually, they're from the South. Oh, boy, I better stop. That's right, I can say that I'm from the South. That's right. How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? And then they go on to list the languages, and at the very end it says, and they were all astounded and what? Perplexed, saying to one another, what could this be? Some said, and I love, this is the Holman Christian Bible translation, but some sneered and said, they are full of new wine. They were full of new wine. And those wineskins were bursting all over the place. Now, you know, I'm glad we're not in a formal tradition like the Catholic or the Anglican or the Episcopal. And that this is not a criticism of those traditions at all. But I think people who have grown up in those traditions can often think of the believers as being sort of pious individuals, you know. Yes, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking in other languages. You know, they said they looked like they were what? Drunk! They were falling around. They were laughing. They were talking in tongues. They were speaking other languages. I mean, they were falling all over the place. Why else would they say that? Come on now. Don't get religious on me. Why else would they say that? They looked intoxicated. Yeah. And they were intoxicated by a new wine, which Jesus said was called the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Wow. Have any of you been intoxicated? Not literally, I'm sorry. By the Holy Spirit. Yes. I remember the night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, June 1972. Bob Mumford said they should probably lock you up for a year. They probably should have done that with me. It's like I'd put my fingers in a 220-volt circuit. And called Linda that night, and we were dating at that time. We weren't yet formally engaged, and she had actually not yet come to faith herself. And what'd you think? This guy is crazy. In fact, my family got so worried that my mother, of course, my father had passed already, but my mother, she was a widow, but she called in the pastor of our church to talk with me. Because she was really worried that I'd gone off the deep end. I think I had, really, but it's kind of funny because I was a really bad guy before. I mean, my mother, I'm the oldest of three, so usually the second child finds his or herself in a lot of trouble, as most of us know. And any of us who've raised second born know what that's like, too. My younger brother was very mischievous. He got into a bit of trouble. But my mom, when she talks to people, that she says, oh, but Randy really got in trouble. what do you want? Do you want me to really keep getting in trouble, or do you want me to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, you know, come on now, you know. Yeah. Eventually, my mom also came to faith. And now she's the one preaching to me. It's kind of funny. It's really funny, actually. So this is really cool. All right, so in the Jewish tradition, Pentecost also coincides with Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, there's nothing in this Pentecost holiday that points to that, but if you look at the calendar, it occurred 50 days after Passover. So there is this connection between God giving the law to Moses and Moses receiving it and Pentecost. But look at this comparison. I love this. Both 50 days, Ten Commandments were written on stone tablets, commandments written on our hearts and what? Minds. First time written by God's finger, second time written by God's spirit. First time, if you remember, they built a golden calf. Moses came down from the mountain. He actually broke the tablets. And there's a joke about that, but I'm forgetting it. And there, he had a... That's good. And, where am I? Okay, oh, yeah, so 3,000 were slain. 3,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. The letter of the law, the letter of the Spirit. As you remember, Moses' face was glowing with the glory of God, but it kept fading. That's why he veiled himself. Some people think he veiled himself because it was so bright. He veiled himself because it was fading. And we have unveiled faces reflecting that same what? Glory. Ministers of the Old Covenant, ministers of the New Covenant, Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, the inauguration of a nation, the people of Israel, and the inauguration of the worldwide body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And that's part of what we'll be celebrating in 2 weeks. We're going to celebrate God's inauguration of this day, the value and importance of it in our lives, the day of Pentecost when the body of believers became inaugurated, and also June 1st marks when the two congregations, Covenant Community Church and Living Water Fellowship, joined together to form a one new man congregation 18 years ago. Wow, that's hard to believe, isn't it? 18 years. So the question might be asked, well, can this still happen today? Can the Holy Spirit still come in this? Now, I know y'all are saying, Randy, where you been, man? But can this still happen today? Can there be a mighty rushing wind? Yeah, well, for those of you that haven't seen this yet, I want to share with you an event where this actually occurred a couple years ago. I think I will. There we go.
February 28th.
It happened in the middle of winter, February 28th, 1999.
Believers had gathered for a week of revival meetings at the Anglican Church. Hungry for God and troubled by new reports of community drug use, they decided to add a special Sunday afternoon youth service. Among those leading the meeting were Pastor Moses Kayak and his ministerial colleagues Joshua and James Ariak, all great-grandsons of the original lightkeeper, Ongwatizawak.
An invitation was offered for youth who felt they wanted to come closer to God.
Worship leader Louis Ariak was praying over the youth that had gathered around the altar.
I felt so close to God, and he kept giving me this verse that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God."
Something started to happen that was out of our control.
This noise started coming.
Yeah, it started softly, like you can barely hear it.
A dual cassette deck used to record the service was still running off the soundboard.
Right away, I wanted to stop, but it kept getting louder, and I started to notice that people were kind of getting a little nervous.
It was so strong, so strong.
It was so loud that everything started to shake.
Fire went right through me.
It sounded like a jet.
Things start to shake. I started to shake.
I told myself, there's no chips in pond and wood.
Wow. Huh? Yeah, we can keep the lights off there just a moment, Richard. Yeah, let me just share with you a word from a dear friend of ours, Bill Johnson.
He's a gift from the Father. And if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. If you really want him, it's the Holy Spirit coming out of a person's life is the gift of his goodness as a perfect Father. He will not give you a stone if you ask for bread, and neither will he not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He is the great gift of heaven.
Richard, now you may help me with the lights, please. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes. And our brother was quoting from Luke chapter 11, so I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God wants to give us his Holy Spirit. Yes, amen. Stand with me, please. And I'd just like to ask, I don't want to presume, but there may be someone here this morning that has not yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we can walk through life with Jesus, and certainly he'll receive us into himself in heaven. There's no question about that if we've received him as our Lord and Savior and ask him to forgive us for our sin. But there's something that the Holy Spirit brings that is undeniable. There's a power. There's a confidence. There's a strength. There's a presence that is undeniable. And I believe that God wants every man and every woman to experience that. How many of you standing here this morning have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and would say it radically made a difference in my life? Raise your hand. Look at all these hands. Yeah. It makes a difference. It really does. I don't think that this is a coincidence that this happened on the day of Pentecost. All these people gathered there in Jerusalem from all the nations. And just as the first harvest is represented in the festival that God ordained, so this was his first harvest of new souls. 3,000 brought in that day. And Jesus said, you will go to the nations. Go to the nations and make them disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this word has gone to the nations. And people all over the world are filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. They've embraced this power. So if you're here this morning and you haven't yet received that and would like to receive it, God wants to give it to you right here. Right now, today. It's a gift. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing, isn't it? It's a gift. It so amazes me that, you know, I mean, if somebody were to say to you, here, I've got this to give you today, and you go, oh, you don't, I don't need that. No, it's okay. No, really, you don't need to pay for this. You don't owe me anything for it. This is a gift. Really? You're giving me a gift? Yeah, it's for you. Just take it. It's for you. I just want to bless you. That's what God's saying, isn't he? He says, I just want to bless you. You know, I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you as, I'm saying the same thing, I know, children without a parent. I'm leaving you with an advocate, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. He's going to connect you with the Father so that you have this relationship that will be continuous 24/7. We all like to talk about things that are 24/7. I love the fact that our relationship with the Father is 24/7. You know, we don't have to go through some special oblation. We don't have to go into a beautiful cathedral like the one we just saw. And I'm not disparaging the beauty of that and the glory of that. But we don't have to do that to be with God the Father, do we? We can be with Him anytime, anywhere. So, let's all close our eyes. And if you haven't yet received the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand. If you'd like to receive it today, anybody? Yes, okay. Okay, I see one hand, two hands. Anybody else? Anybody else like to receive it? Anybody wants to receive the Holy Spirit, okay? Just some people lay hands on our brother back there and on our Linda right here, on our sister right next to you, yeah. And let's just pray together. I'm going to pray for these people. And let's all just pray out in the Holy Spirit in a couple minutes here. But Father, I just invite you now to come by your Holy Spirit. We believe you're here. We believe you're present with us. But I ask you to come right now and to touch each man, each woman who has not yet felt that power, that dunamis of your Holy Spirit, has not yet known what that can do in each of our lives, how it can bring transformation, renewal, and allow us to walk in the power that you desire for us to walk in every day of our lives on this earth. Father, come, Holy Spirit, come. Right here, right now, I pray. Yes, Lord, more, more. Just pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Father. Pour out your Spirit in this room, O God, I ask. In this room, O Lord, I pray. The hearts and lives of your men and women, of your children. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. 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 The Lord's doing this right now. He's touching your hearts. He's touching you with His Holy Spirit. He's touching you with the Holy Spirit right now. He's filling you with that, with His Spirit, that Spirit of truth that Jesus talked about. Right now, just receive it. Just receive it. There's nothing you can do on your part. You don't have to work it up or even say a special prayer. You just need to be open to receive it. Receive it. Receive it now. Receive it now. Now allow the Lord just to work in you. And the evidence of this is speaking in tongues. There are people that have asked, well, can you have the Holy Spirit without speaking tongues? Yes, I believe you can. But I believe that God wants us to have this prayer language because that just adds to that whole beauty of what God wants to do in each of our hearts and lives. So let's all of us just begin to pray out in the Spirit. Hallelujah. More, Lord, more. Just let your power flow, Lord. Let your power flow into the hearts and lives of your people, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's a controversy as to when we're speaking in tongues, or, you know, those who believe the gifts have ended said, well, they were speaking in other languages, and, you know, are you speaking in another language? I believe you are. All right? There are actively thousands of languages and dialects today in the world. But if you go back to those that are no longer in existence, it's multiplied tenfold. When I was in, after I'd received this gift, when I was in Barcelona, Spain, it was at night with another fellow believer. We were on the streets, and we met a couple men, or a few men, actually, two or three of them, who are from Lebanon going there to medical school. We started to talk to them about the Lord. And I said, I'm going to say something to you. I don't know what I'm saying, but I want to ask you if you understand what I'm saying. Of course, they looked at me kind of funny. But what have you been drinking? You know. So I started speaking in tongues, and they said, we don't understand all that you're saying, but it's an Arabic dialect, and the words we do understand, you're saying, hello, I welcome you. Yeah, yeah. And I've heard many other stories of people hearing words spoken to them in their native language that the person speaking had no clue how to share that language. And they're always words from God, words of affirmation from Him. It's amazing. So I believe that each one of you has a language. You may not know what it is, but it is a language by the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your gift to each and every one of us. Thank you for that event that occurred on the day of Pentecost that has changed the world forever. Those disciples were afraid. They'd been in hiding. They had feared their future. And all of a sudden, they became the boldest men on the face of the earth. God, thank you for that power. Thank you for that courage that you give us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the wisdom and discernment that you bring to us by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Paul, or you, or to Paul, I don't know how many of you have been here for the last couple of weeks, but we are doubly blessed because not only can Paul provide for us the singing of the Aaronic benediction in an absolutely remarkable. How many of you agree? When Paul sings, it's like, whoa. And then Tamara does it, and it's like, whoa, whoa. Wow. It's a double whoa. So we are, thank you both so much. Amen.
Yivarechech Adonai v'adishmarecha. Yaher Adonai panavalecha vihunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha. Ve'asem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Yeshua, Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's go in God's peace.